You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm sure the listener is wondering what that background noise is. It's because Dane Moore and Tim Fakeless are calling in from the road. That's right. This is a road trip episode. They are on the road to the Cleveland Cavaliers and Chicago Bulls games that are going down in over the next couple of days for the Timberwolves. And so they decided to strike out on their own on the road while the Timberwolves were also on the road. Guys, I'm just so proud that you're able to drive and talk and do a podcast at the same time.
I was just calling kickball attendant to figure out where we should go for lunch if you had any suggestions.
Colton, how does it feel to know that you're ripping off John Oliver with your intro? You know who John Oliver is, Colton?
I hope that I can get his paycheck.
You know who John Oliver is? Answer the question.
I do know who John Oliver is. And
oh,
I hope
thank
that,
God. Okay.
I hope that I can acquire that that much of a salary.
Okay.
That's what this means, right? If I steal his intro, then I can also ask for that much from zone coverage.
That's how entertainment works. Is if you steal from bigger people, you eventually become as famous as them.
That's good. That's what I assumed. That's what I assumed. So, the boys are on the road trip. First of all, I want to know, who's the better driver, Tim or Dane?
We don't get to find out because Dane does not get to drive my car, which is perfectly okay with me.
Oh, man. Actually, that's probably the only way that could have gone down. And what are the tales of the road? Has there been any problems? Has there been any fights? Or is it just you guys just enjoying each other's company in blissful peace?
Well, we've only been driving for 4 hours so far. We just moving through the Wisconsin Dells right now, and they're on our way to South Bend, Indiana,
right?
That's where we're staying today.
I just know that if Tim had taken me to Cleveland, we would have made it about 30 minutes, probably, Tim.
Oh, man. I'm thinking back to the days when you were a kid and I'd take you to see Grandma. And I mean, you were just, I need to listen to my One Direction tape. And, man, I just... One day you'll learn, but yeah, we just need a break from taking road trips together.
Gotcha. You also wouldn't be able to drive either, but that would be for our inebriation.
Are you kidding me? I am the best driver. I look like Tokyo Drift when I drive. It's amazing.
That's why you don't drive. Because you try to do Tokyo Drift on a 94.
Not try. I do. Anyways, so you guys are actually... working, you're going to be covering basketball. We should probably discuss the New Orleans Timberwolves game. The New Orleans Pelicans fell to the Timberwolves 107-118. Anthony Davis with 38 points, but couldn't top the Timberwolves. Butler had 30, Towns with 22. At this point, when we're covering the Timberwolves, are we basically just tracking how many times Karl Anthony Towns shoots to make sure it's enough times?
That seems to be one of the... any Twitter narratives out there. I don't know if you heard this, but Tyus Jones is a better net rating than Jeff Teague. So, you know,
where would I hear that from?
A lot of minutes.
Where would I hear that from, I wonder?
No, man, it's like, I don't know. I think Karl Anthony Towns has caught on to the fact that people are talking about his low shot count. Because the two games following that becoming a story, he took like five to seven shots the first quarter of the next two games. Karl Anthony Towns listens to critics. So to a degree, it may have helped him speed up the defensive intensity or at least maybe try a little harder or learn to become a better defender at a quicker pace because he felt the pressure. But in this case, I don't think it's necessarily a good thing.
I do like... What was that?
Go ahead. Sorry, my bad.
No, you're good. I do like that it seems like they're trying a little harder shooting the three-point ball, 10 for 21 in this game, and they defended this a lot better as well. The Pelicans went 8 for 33. Maybe that's just because the Pelicans are not great three-point shooters, or at least consistently, but they have proven to get hot from deep. Holding them 8 for 33, I thought was a pretty solid mark, even though Boogie was out for this game. I thought it was a pretty solid mark for the Timberwolves defense.
I think the Pelicans are really bad. I mean, Anthony Davis is very good, but I don't know. They played the Thunder the night before, and I kind of watched that game in advance of the Timberwolves show, kind of to see what this Pelicans team looked like. And I mean, this isn't like breaking any news here, but the Pelicans are Anthony Davis, and that's it. And they start 3-point guards and Dante Cunningham, and they're not very good. I would love it if the Wolves could play the Pelicans in the playoffs in the first round. That'd be great. The teams, you know, defeated, and I think actually the Timberwolves' strengths really do are an effective counter to the weaknesses that the Pelicans have. I mean, I think against the team that starts 3-point guards, you just the ball around until you find someone to post up, and then they're going to score because they're a point guard. And that Pelicans team is terribly constructed, and I mean, I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. If they do, I think it'll be the 8th seed. So, well, I do think it's always good to get a win. I'm not blown away by beating the Pelicans. Yes, they have Anthony Davis, but all in all, without Boogie, that's just not a good team in my opinion.
The Pelicans are, like Dan and I were just talking about this construct of a team before, the Pelicans are so reliant on two stars being the overwhelming majority of their offense that when you take away half of that, it brings them from like a lower tier playoff contender that could go anywhere between, what, like 6 and 8 probably to maybe getting that 8th spot. If you would have started the season with this team, I don't think they're much better than... Like they're essentially what Utah is, I think, as far as record and production goes. Different complexion of players, but I don't think they're much better in terms of win-loss. Like, Utah's played better lately, but I'm saying in terms of just barely hanging on to maybe getting that 8th spot, Anthony Davis gets them to hang on.
One superstar doesn't do it.
Right.
I mean, by the way, that's like, yeah, across the board, it was... If you strip down Kevin Durant, if you put Kevin Durant on, and you deleted Anthony Davis, you put Kevin Durant on the Pelicans.
Yeah,
sorry, the Pelicans aren't good. Like maybe they're at the end of the playoffs, but I think more so than ever, like having not only having multiple stars, but having multiple like complementary pieces is crucial. The NBA is just getting so, I don't know, effective the way in which they work together that one great player isn't enough. Anthony Davis has been killing it since Boogie's out, but all in all, I'm just not very impressed with their product.
Well, and that said, too, I know that they're a down team, and Boogie being out definitely doesn't make them any better, but the Timberwolves also have lost to the Hawks, the Nets, the Suns. I mean, you did have to pay attention to this game just because it did seem like a little bit of a track game, a game that the Timberwolves really felt like they should win, and so that meant that maybe the Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday combo could catch them off guard. So it is good to see them take care of business at home.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that just means to me, though, I would have been frustrated had they lost that game. That happens. I think the Wolves have shown to have maybe more of those frustrating games than other teams. But I know Jim and I have talked on our podcast a ton about the fact that the Wolves aren't the only team in the NBA to lose to really bad teams. Like, to go from the top of the standings in the West or the East and Celtics, the Warriors, whoever, they've had bad losses too. The Wolves just seem to do it in like stupendously awful fashion where it just like really punches you in the stomach, and that Atlanta game where, you know, Jeff G like forgot that he was on the Timberwolves and started passing to the Hawks again. That was terrible.
That happens to the best of us.
Does that happen to you? I don't know. It doesn't happen to me, Colton. But yeah, there's I don't know. It sucks. It sucks. Every time they lose one of those games, the Brooklyn game also comes to mind. It's a bummer, but, you know, it's the NBA. It's the slog of the middle of the season. It's the dog days of summer. of the NBA. A lot of times when you're traveling and you're on the road, it happens to lose those games. And I'm not to make excuses, but I just think it, once you get to be a team that's this good, the expectation is to win the games. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get a lot of pats on the back once you're one of the best teams in the NBA. The expectation is to win, and then you get ripped on when you lose the game. Like, really, the Bulls are one of the best teams in the NBA, so the expectation is going to be to win most every game, and they're only going to get the pats on the back if somehow they beat Houston or Golden State or Boston or Toronto. And that's just, it's tough. It's tough in the public perception of a imperfect, really good team.
No, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things, too, when you're a young team is you got to kind of grow and adapt to that perception and that public expectation is that you're now expected to win some of these games. And so the criticism and the critique gets a little tougher as you start to become more successful.
Well, it's awesome that they're here. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I didn't think that they were going to be, like, the fifth best team in the NBA. And they deserve credit for that, absolutely. But now I guess I'm just talking about it in my mind. Is they're the fifth best team in the NBA, so I've recalibrated my expectations as such. So yeah, when they go on to lose to a Hawks team, yeah, it's gonna be frustrating and be kind of unforgivable.
If they run into the Hawks or the Magic in the playoffs, they're screwed.
There you go. That's a positive silver lining right there from Tim. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are struggling more than the Timberwolves ever have this season. Cleveland really highlighted the weekend with a 120-88 loss to the Rockets at home. I know the Rockets are a very good team, but that was just pathetic and abysmal. What are your opinions of the Cavaliers and where they're at right now as a team, especially a team that has a player like LeBron James? And can the Timberwolves go into their house and knock them off and put a beating on them a little bit like they did in Game 1 when the Cavaliers were on the road?
Did you say that the Cavaliers are struggling more than the Timberwolves ever have? The Timberwolves won this, like 100 games over the past decade.
This season, the Timberwolves.
An important clarification. To answer your question, I think it's going to be very hard for the Wolves to repeat what they did against them at the Target Center. For one, because LeBron James is not going to have a dud of a game like he did at Target Center. He doesn't have those types of games very often. As bad as they've been this year, he's having a career year offensively. And on the road, they've had some time off for the first time in God knows how long. I don't know what kind of impact that'll have on things. I assume they partied last night at Super Bowl evening. They all got that suite at the U.S. Bank Stadium thanks to Jimmy Butler. Maybe that'll make a difference on their fatigue. I don't know. That might just be over speculation. But, like, I think that they should be projected as favorites to win this game.
You think like Vegas will have some favorites in this game?
I think they probably will, but I don't see them winning this game by 30 points. I can see them winning by double digits, but my guess is it's going to be more of a slow kind of a grind-out game.
Well, since you're like marginally unsuccessful sports better, do you think that that the Timberwolves will be the favorite in that game, like just straight up?
First of all, I feel like I have to defend myself here. I cleaned up on Super Bowl props that had nothing to do with the actual football being played. So I feel very accomplished in that area. I bet that Justin Timberlake would do a Prince cover. I bet that there would be...
That's a bet. You can bet that in Minneapolis, a pop singer was going to cover Prince?
Yeah.
Can you also bet that like it's going to snow at some point in Minnesota?
It's snowing right now, actually. But I also bet that Giselle would be shown over two times, that Carson Wentz would be talked about over four times, stuff like that.
Wow. So you are good at gambling. So what do you think about the Wolves?
I am very good at gambling. I really like the Timberwolves in this one. The Cavaliers' defense is disgusting. It's really awful. And people always say that they need to make a move at the trade deadline. Or they've been saying the entire season pretty much for the Cavaliers, they need to make a move at the trade deadline. Is there a move that could really help out this defense so drastically that it makes a difference down the stretch here?
Well, there's good defenders out there. I mean,
I know, but is one good defender going to make a difference on this team?
I think DeAndre Jordan could. Yeah, I think he's the one that comes to mind that, like, even before Kevin Love broke his hand, Kevin Love was their center. And, I mean, yeah, I feel bad for that dude for the scrutiny he gets because, like, him being put down there as the quote-unquote rim protector, at least in theory, he's the guy, considering Tristan Thompson's struggles just all around this year, it's not fair to Love. You have a beautiful singing voice. With a healthy Kevin Love, if you pair him with DeAndre Jordan, not only is that just a good fit on both ends of the floor, I think it really opens up their defense in a way. It makes them, just on paper, a better defensive team. And I think DeAndre's impact in L.A., I mean, it's proof that he can have a giant impact.
I mean, would you say their defensive issue is, like, it comes from an effort standpoint, it comes from a coaching standpoint. Like, yes, they have some poor defenders. Isaiah Thomas is a bad defender, and Kevin Love is undersized, under-athletic to perform in some ways. But, I mean, so much of their defense, why they have the 30th defense last in the NBA is effort and coaching. That team, I don't know, DeAndre is going to help, but at the end of the day, they need to improve their focus and how much they care about the effort on defense. So maybe bringing in somebody like DJ, like, that he personally is someone who cares about defense, that kind of, you know, he shifts the quote-unquote culture, and it becomes...
Jimmy Butler style.
Yeah, right? A little bit more important. I could see that, but... They can go trade for multiple defenders if they want. They have the assets. They could completely disregard their future and go for it. But I don't know. Even if they bring in three good defenders, that's not a guarantee that their defense is going to improve because they don't play team defense. Good defense is like team defense. And that's the issue with the Cavs.
Well, and you talk about the culture of the Cavaliers and how the effort is kind of down there. For Wednesday night, they play the Timberwolves, but the night before, they're on the road to the Magic. If they play a tight game with the Magic, or they lose to the Magic, which they have done this season, are they
smoked by the Magic?
Yeah, is that going to be a real kind of play-in for how they perform against the Timberwolves, depending on how they look in that game against the Magic?
I mean, the Magic are an outlier in the same way that the Globetrotters are to the Washington Generals, so not really, but, no, I'm just kidding.
Stellar comparison.
No, I don't know. The Wolves and the Magic are just on such different levels, and this is serious now. I mean, the Magic are a similar dweller team. The Cavs could theoretically hold the Magic to... under 100 points, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they're playing great defense. It just means the Magic have no scoring whatsoever.
It means that they accidentally gave the ball to Bismack Biyombo.
Exactly. So I don't think that's necessarily an indicator. It helps the Wolves for obvious reasons. A road home back-to-back versus a team that hasn't played since Saturday is a huge advantage, but I don't think it's necessarily an indicator to how the Cavs will play.
Right. And that's what you never know with a LeBron James-led team. It's like, uh-oh, they might accidentally be off. Like, that happens because he's awesome. So that's just, like, deep analysis right there. But I just think, I think with the, you know, as kind of volatile as this Cavs team can be, it's like, we've seen the Wolves be volatile, too. Like, jokes aside about the Hawks, like, they lost to the Hawks. They could get their butts whooped by the Cavs too. That seems silly. It's just like we don't get enough like consistency from the Timberwolves for me to ever feel like confident about a specific game. I feel confident in the greater landscape of the NBA that the Wolves are sure like a top 8 team in the league. But I don't know. Night to night, I you know, it's like watching a movie you've never seen before. You don't know what you're going to get. Like, the details are to be determined.
One more quick break from our sponsors before we wrap up the episode talking about some matchups in the Cavaliers and Timberwolves game. One of the top matchups that you got to love if you're a Timberwolves fan has to be Tristan Thompson going up against Towns in this one, especially the way Towns has played over the last couple of games.
Oh, yeah.
any response to that, or is it just flat agreement? Just, yep.
I'm fine. It's fine.
It is a matchup. I mean, I don't know. Carl Towns can score on anybody.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like, Tristan Thompson, like, you know, we want to dig into that a little bit. He's been bad this year. He did get recently inserted into the starting lineup, so it becomes matchup. But I don't know. I just think, to your point from earlier, Colton, about being assertive with touches is. They do need to do that to Townsend. It doesn't matter if Anthony Davis is guarding him, if Tristan Thompson is guarding him, if Nikola Vucevic is guarding Towns. Like, finding ways in which to have the ball go to Towns is key. Whether that's in post-up situations, you know, pick-and-pop type situations, or just, yeah, I mean, Towns is tough, the great player, so it's about finding ways to get him the ball, so... I would assume against the Cavs that, I know, Thibodeau always says the game dictates the touches, but I hope the game plan is to give Towns the ball, even though I think Tristan Thompson is regarded as a pretty solid defensive player. I don't know if he's necessarily like super stout, like post defender. I think most of his defensive accolades are from his like athleticism and kind of his ability to scat on the perimeter, but I don't know. The ability to keep him up just like he does every other big man in the NBA.
And then if I'm looking at Isaiah Thomas, with what he is capable of or what he showed he's capable of in Boston, I haven't really seen a ton of that in Cleveland. Again, he hasn't played a bunch so far this year, but if he starts knocking down shots in the fourth quarter, is there any kind of nervousness for Timberwolves fans, or have they shown that they can weather some storms like they did against the Toronto Raptors with Kyle Lowry? They can weather some storms from some guys who are feeling hot at the time as long as they don't break apart everywhere else. They can handle one player getting hot for a few or for a quarter or so.
I'm going to let Tim answer this question, but first of all, I would like to point out the fact that this game happens like 18 hours before the NBA trade deadline, and I'm not saying it's like 100% chance that Isaiah Thomas is on the Cleveland Cavaliers when this game happens. So, I don't know, just saying that, but in general, yes, we know Isaiah Thomas was better last year, and the Cavs have been worse with him, but he obviously has some of that skill set.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be worried about Isaiah Thomas if I'm a player or coach on the Timberwolves until I actually see him revert to his ways from last season.
And part of him, right?
Yeah, or just something. Like, he's every bit of the defender he was last year, I'll put it that way, but offensively, until he starts shooting at that ridiculously efficient clip and taking over in the fourth quarter the way he did in Boston last year, I'm going to focus all my attention on LeBron James. And even if Isaiah is hitting, the attention should still be on LeBron James. So, I don't know. At this point, he just hasn't proven that he's healthy to me. So if I'm a coach and I'm game planning, especially after, let's say it's a close game after three quarters, Isaiah Thomas is not even in the top two or three concerns of mine when I'm addressing my team.
Well, I feel like we haven't got your opinion. What do you think? Do you still love Isaiah? Still think he's got it in the tank?
Something doesn't look right when he's kind of running the floor and shooting. He'll have a couple good minutes. I think Tim's onto something there with that. He might still be kind of injured, and he was just really trying
We're
to get back
out
there. Maybe
that's
too.
What I think it is. I don't think he looks injured to me. He's not like limping. He doesn't look like slow to me. I think if it's anything, it's that he's not comfortable and maybe not like in like peak physical shape, like from a strength standpoint, from an endurance standpoint. But like, I mean, it's just like Tiny Tim out there, like.
I resent that.
Well,
Thomas.
No, but I mean, he's not like limping up and down the floor. Like, Isaiah Thomas is cleared to play basketball. He might not have totally regained all the athleticism, but he doesn't look like a gift.
No, yeah, when he's shooting too, when they go to him a couple times or a couple possessions in a row, there'll be some of those shots where it just doesn't look like it's as crisp or like he's falling through the right. Something just when he pulls up just doesn't look quite the same as in Boston. But maybe that's just because he's not back. That's part of it.
Something about the ball, it just doesn't go to the same spot.
I can't tell you how much fun this is for me. Is what is going on here. Can't tell you how much fun this is for me. We're gonna end
every
on this.
Every time I get from now on, I'm just gonna pick up Dane and we're gonna drive.
Thank God.
Always on the road.
Maybe you could just stay out there too when you drive. Wherever you end up is no. Just kidding. You can come back for sure. What I want to end on is
I'm cutting off your college, bud.
Is LeBron. About time I got some help for all this. If LeBron James has a triple-double, is there a way where the Timberwolves can still win this? I think they've shown in a few games, I brought the Toronto game before, where a superstar on the other team really goes off and they do a good job of kind of shutting down the options around them. Is there a scenario where LeBron doesn't kind of lay an egg like he did last time against the Timberwolves and they're still able to pull out a victory?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a team lose when a player gets a triple-double, so...
I think the Wolves can win even if LeBron scores a triple double.
If they score more points. No.
Yeah. The Wolves are a deeper team, and even if a triple double is almost entirely offensive based. Obviously the rebounds are a big part of that, but
it's kinda like the Pelicans thing, actually.
Yeah.
Like if the rest of the cast play like the Pelicans, and
right.
LeBron could be Anthony Davis. Like, it's not going to make a difference.
And the Cavs just lost Kevin Love to injury, so the chance for defensive rebounds are even greater for LeBron James. So, I feel like his odds of getting triple doubles on a game by game basis have increased with Love's injury. So, yeah, he could get a triple double, but the Wolves are, frankly, at this point, clearly a better team. At least in terms of two-way basketball, I think they're clearly a better team right now in terms of depth and just all-around play. So as good as LeBron is and as real as his MVP odds are, the Wolves should still win this game no matter how good of a game LeBron is.
You know what's funny is and I don't even disagree with you, you just said the Wolves are clearly the better team, which I agree with.
Yeah, They're playing better.
Yeah, but the Cavs probably have, the third, maybe fourth best odds in the NBA of winning the championship this season.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like the Cavs could still very well come out of the East as much as they're rooting on them.
Totally.
Yet at the same time, we think the Wolves are better. So I think kind of the moral of the story is the Cavs don't make any sense.
Yeah, they're a weird team.
They have a superhero and confusion. And if it clicks, they could beat us. I mean, if we want to say that's triple doubles, if we want to say that's LeBron being LeBron, whatever. Yeah, they will be dangerous. I still think LeBron's the best player in the NBA.
Right.
Thank God there was a moral to this story, because now I can learn something.
Did you vote for Russell Westbrook for MVP last year, Cole?
No, I was actually pulling for James Harden. I thought he was the better player on the better team.
Good man. I voted for Pekovic, but yeah, that was
gosh. Why we're still asking you who you voted for is the real question.
I voted for Trent and Apple.
Pekovic and Apple. 2020.
Tim, you know you voted for yourself.
Well, no, I just in my MVP speech, I just said that I'm the real MVP. I didn't vote for myself.
I'm the real MVP and the real OG. All right, so make sure you guys queue up a lot of Drake. As you head down to...
We've been listening to music instead on this trip.
The Cavaliers. Make sure you listen to a lot of Drake. And A lot of the new Migos culture, too.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do that, but we'll, you know, we'll...
I failed you as a father.
entire zone coverage staff.
I don't know, whatever. Maybe I just forget the serious deal.
What's the serious note? I wanted to say that, we are actually going to be in
Cleveland and Chicago, and this is going to be a huge week in the NBA. And like the Timberwolves can clear, like I say, they could very well make a move here in the next day or two. And so I would just say, you know, it's a fun time to be an NBA fan. You know, I'm excited to be writing on that, covering on it. We'll be doing pods. Check out ZoneCoverage.com. Check out Wolves Wired. Our podcast will be on the road throughout the week, and maybe we'll even talk Bolton. I don't know. Maybe Bolton, got any free time?
Oh, I've got nothing but free time for you guys.
Cool.
I just clear the schedule for all Zone Coverage employees is what I do.
Fantastic.
All right, you guys drive safe. Make sure you don't hit any deer or anything else, and make sure you pick up some snacks. Road snacks are essential for a road trip. That's my favorite part of going anywhere is really the food.
Not mine, but we'll do that. Mine is the Migos and the Drake. Yeah,
there we go. What a way to end an episode. This is all for the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.